Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's an amazing and maddening fact, but there's no denying that in 2019, North Carolina is regularly jailing people simply because they're poor. A report from the American Civil Liberties Union of North Carolina entitled "At All Costs, the Consequences of Rising Court Fines and Fees in North Carolina" finds that our state has quite literally trapped thousands of its residents in an inescapable cycle of poverty and even incarceration. Earlier this year, I sat down with the author of the report, ACLU attorney Christina Becker, to find out more about how our state is making poverty a crime and what we ought to be doing to change things.
Well, Christina Becker of the ACLU, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you got a new report out about court fines and fees in our state. This is probably not a topic that a lot of people typically think about. We sort of just take it for granted. Oh, you pay a fine, you pay a fee when you have some interaction with the courts. But it's actually something where we've been raising these fines and fees dramatically, and it's become a big problem. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of your findings?
Sure, absolutely. So our report generally documents how criminal court fines and fees have risen exponentially over the last 20 years and their negative impact on North Carolinians. So a little bit how fines and fees work is that anyone who is convicted of a crime, and that means even just a traffic ticket, faces being sentenced to court fines and fees. However, depending on the charge, it could range anywhere from hundreds of dollars to tens of thousands of dollars, and they must pay to resolve their court case or else they're stuck in the criminal justice system.
Which, if you're a person of very low income, which unfortunately includes an awful lot of people caught up in our justice system, you're in a catch-22. I mean, if you don't have the money, how do you pay? What do you do?
That's exactly right. And what we know as a national statistic is that 80 to 90% of people in the criminal justice system cannot afford their own attorney. So they're already facing an uphill battle financially. And so as they are forced to pay these really high costs of court, they're trapped in this never-ending like debt and poverty cycle that's really hard for them to get out of.
And we're actually jailing people, right? Because of their failure, inability to pay court fines and fees?
Right. And so what we've seen is sort of the rise of the modern-day debtor's prison. And so in order for them to get out, they have to pay. But that means they're sort of faced with a really hard decision, sort of right. Like you said.
You could go get a real high interest loan or something, I suppose, and then be in debt to some sort of predatory lender. But that's obviously not a real solution.
Right. And so sometimes they're forced to make these hard choices where it's either pay the courts in order to stay out of jail, because we know there are a lot of collateral consequences of being in jail, losing housing, losing your car, losing custody of kids. So in order to stay out of jail, sometimes they have to forego rent or childcare or medical care in order to pay these high costs.
This is not a small problem, right? We're talking about a lot of people in our state.
And we're talking about, at least based on our data that we've collected from the counties and also through our observation data, that we know that there are hundreds of people that are being jailed for this every year. And that's just people who are jailed, not even the people who are forced to make those hard choices.
Right, so undoubtedly, thousands of people are suffering the consequences of this policy.
Absolutely.
You've mentioned the fact that this has gotten a lot worse in recent years. It's interesting. We have a General Assembly here in North Carolina for the last decade that prides itself on the notion that, you know, we're a low-tax state. We're not going to charge people high taxes for the government services that they receive. But that isn't really the case when it comes to court, to the judicial system. In effect, we're taxing the people who come into contact with the system, and those taxes have been going way up real fast.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is sort of bipartisan agreement that this is a regressive tax on poor people.
Right.
So what the legislature has basically tried to do is stop funding the court as a public benefit.
Obviously, we all depend on a court system that works for everybody. It's what makes our economy go. It's what makes our criminal justice system work. But in fact, we're not all paying for it.
That's right. They're trying to sort of create this as a user pay system. And, you know, you can't get blood from a stone. So as we just talked about, most of the people who are in court are poor. And so they're not able to fund, you know, a lot of these agencies that are solely dependent on fines and fees. And so what we've seen is that as we start to be more and more dependent and relying on the revenue of fines and fees, the less that these agencies are actually fully funded.
And then we have this sort of weird and pernicious system where then they have to, like, get into the debt collection business, right?
Absolutely. And it's mostly the judges that are collecting this debt, and which, you know, sort of puts the judges in sort of a strange place. And they absolutely are the gatekeepers to these sort of modern day debtors' prisons.
Clearly, there are a lot of judges who know that this is not a sustainable or healthy situation, and they have people come in front of them, and they know these people don't have any money. And a lot of judges traditionally have made a finding, look, well, I'm not going to impose a fine or a fee on you that you're incapable of paying. But our General Assembly hasn't been too happy with that, remarkably. They've actually passed policies that have made it harder and harder for judges to waive fines and fees, right?
That's right. They are trying to tie the hands of judges as much as possible in order to, to increase the revenue.
In recent years, the legislature keeps coming back and passing new laws that take away more and more discretion from judges.
Yes, and including creating the sort of shame list of judges where the individual judges and the number of waivers that they conduct are then reported to the General Assembly.
So we know that we could do this a better way, right? There's a better system out there. Probably the real long-term objective would be to have a justice system that's funded by all of us, all taxpayers, and funded adequately so that the courts aren't forced into this situation where they're trying to cobble together fines and fees and revenue wherever they can get it. But what are some other just sort of more specific, tangible things we might could do to make things better in our state?
Well, as you mentioned, stop trying to fund the state on the backs of poor people.
Right.
But also make sure that the judges are making inquiries into people's financial ability to pay.
Right.
They have the discretion to waive these fines and fees if they want to. Mm-hmm. And so they should do so and tailor the sentence to the individual, whether that means waiving it completely or reducing the cost.
Maybe a percentage of what they can really realistically pay. It would have just the same impact on a poor person perhaps to pay a $25 fine as it would on a wealthy person to pay a $1,000 fine.
Absolutely. And also what we've seen through our observations is that people are not being properly appointed counsel. So they're trying to sort of navigate this, you know, very complex system by themselves without being informed of really their rights or how to sort of get out of this cycle of debt. One thing that we would ask the judges to do is properly appoint counsel, because that is not happening.
Yeah, if you're not represented, I mean, we all know how it'd be almost impossible to negotiate this system. Now, there has been a U.S. Supreme Court case on this issue recently, is that right, that maybe offers some little glimmers of hope?
Yeah, so Timms v. Indiana just came down recently, and it was a unanimous opinion by the Supreme Court. They said, yes, the excessive fines clause, so the clause that protects people from having to pay too many fines in court.
That's a constitutional protection of the Bill of Rights.
Absolutely. Is then, you know, imputed to the states. But North Carolina actually already has a state provision and protection against that. So what we've seen is that the legislature has sort of circumvented that protection and have raised fees versus fines.
They're making this sort of fine slice in the bologna distinction here.
Right. But I can see how the policy language in Timms might be useful in arguing against excessive fees as well.
Our time is limited, but I want to leave people on a somewhat hopeful note. There is some hope in this area. It seems that there's a growing recognition, really a bipartisan recognition, even amongst conservatives in this state, that we've gone a little overboard with this punishment at all turns approach to the criminal justice system. And people are starting to recognize, perhaps, that we've got to take another look at this.
Yeah, and I think for a couple of reasons. One, I think because everyone sees us as government overreach, but also we know based on our data that we're actually spending more money to jail people than money that's actually owed to them. And I think, you know, what people consider to be fundamentally unfair is that rich people can get out of jail and get out of the criminal justice system and poor people cannot.
You get as much justice as you can afford is too often the case in our justice system. And that obviously needs to be turned around. It ought to be an equal opportunity access point to our government.
That's right.
Well, Christina, thank you so much for your good work. How can people, they can check out the report. It'll be soon published at ACLU of North Carolina website.
It's available right now.
Okay.
It's ACLUofNC.org/at all costs.
Okay. Check it out, folks. It's an important report. Christina, keep up the good work. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon and talk about some of the success you've had in getting these things fixed.
I certainly hope so. Thank you.
Coming up next, a conversation with one of the unfortunate North Carolinians caught in the catch-22 of high court fines and fees. Don't go away.